Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. Starting a podcast is a lot of work, but it is such a great networking tool. I follow a few podcasts and I like to listen to a variety of them. On this episode, I am speaking with Lola. She is the host of a podcast called This Black Girl Podcast, which you can find anywhere you listen to podcasts. We talk about the challenges of podcasting, creating and growing a community, and we also talked about her successful moments on her podcast. It's a great episode. Check it out. Hi, Lola.
Hi, how are you, Cindy?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so happy that you're here on this podcast.
I mean, same, because we've had our little, you know, our exchanges and stuff.
Yes.
So I'm excited to join you.
Yes. Well, thanks for being here. You are the host of This Black Girl Podcast, which I love.
Thank you.
So why was it important for you to just create a space where you could define, you know, Black women or Black people in general?
Well, it's funny because it's like, it's a definition, but it's also like removing definition, just because I feel like a lot of the time, a lot of people want to dictate who and what Black people are, except for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's just almost like a space to just reclaim who you think we are and let you just tell you, like, introduce you to who I am as myself, 100%. Not what the shade room thinks that you need to be, not what Six Buzz thinks you need to be, not what World Star thinks you need to be, or anybody else on Instagram, or Beyonce's internet, or whoever. It's just you. And that should be enough and appreciated.
Absolutely. And it's funny, we were talking just before you started recording how sometimes there's this stigma about, you know, the sassy Black woman. Mm-hmm. And when you're not sassy, people are like, oh, so like, what do we do with you?
Yeah. They're ready to put you in the box where it's like, oh, so if you're not the sassy Black woman, then which Black woman are you? Are you the super power hungry? Are you the Candace Owens of the world that are anti-Black? Are you this? They want to just kind of put you in something. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. I'm just me.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Let me just be me. How about that?
Yeah. I came to exist. That's it.
What are some challenges you faced as a podcast host?
I guess, like, obviously there's a few challenges. A lot of people don't realize that, especially when you're going into podcasting, that it takes a long time to build a community. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you'll see some of the more popular like podcasts in our city and like just in general. And people are like, oh my gosh, well, how did they grow so big overnight? And it's like, you forget. They have a history of having and building a community prior to even launching this podcast. Like right now, you're seeing a lot of trends of YouTubers who have been on YouTube for many years and are like, oh, well, now subscribe to my podcast because now it's available on all streaming platforms. That's them just cultivating that initial like community that they have and moving them somewhere else. So mm-hmm. when you're starting with a podcast with no community, no platform, nothing like that, it takes a while. So I feel like some people can get discouraged if your numbers aren't like up right away. But again, patience, perseverance, and commitment. So I don't want to say I struggle with commitment. I just obviously, life happens. You mm-hmm. have obligations. So sometimes I miss a week here or there. And people notice, which is cute. But I guess that's my main challenge of making sure that the content is always there for people to enjoy. Because mm-hmm. they enjoy it, and I appreciate that.
No, you're so right about building a community from scratch. Because I think as a podcast host, you're like, okay, who's listening to this? And then you're like, okay, I just need to be consistent. I just need to put out content every week. And then you start looking at the numbers, and you're like, oh, that's it?
But the thing is, if you think about it, if all those people, okay, let's use the number, for example, like I've thankfully had over 3,000 streams in under 2 years of nice. My show. Mm-hmm. If 3,000 people were in a room, that's a lot of damn people.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, even if you have like regular listenership of anywhere of like 15 to 150 people every episode. That's also a lot of people. I'm sure you can't even fit like 15 people in your house nowadays. Mm-hmm. So don't discount the numbers. Like, I feel like social media has definitely reduced the numbers, especially when things go like viral and you get like 8 million views and 2 million views and 80,000 likes. 20 people is a big impact.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And you mentioned that we are both in Canada. How do you think the Canadian podcast market is in Canada? Do we even have a big audience?
So I think the market's definitely there because I've had the opportunity of meeting other people either in the podcast space or like adjacent that I've built wonderful connections with. And, you know, a good chunk of them have been Canadian. But I wouldn't say, unfortunately, it's like the most dominant space. Like, I wish it would be lovely to be like, you know, supported by your own. But sometimes I feel like you have to kind of reach a bit further. Like, my number one demographic audience is definitely not Canadians. It's Americans.
Really? But
yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, South Carolina, I have them in a chokehold, apparently. But I love them. They're great. You know? They're great people. I love them. Like, I literally have a small community. Like, there was a publication that reached out to me that wanted to publish me. And they were like, we want to promote, you know, people in South Carolina. I was like, I appreciate it. I'm super flattered, but like, I don't live there. So like, please like use your platform to support somebody who's actually out there. But like, if you're expanding, you know, and want to reach North America, I'm in Canada. So I don't know. You have to kind of push, but the Canadian people are there and Toronto people are here. You just have to kind of keep going. Cause I don't know, there's this weird Toronto vibe. Like you have to be at a certain point to kind of have hype.
Yes.
But when you meet the right people, that's totally not needed. Like, there are people in our own community that, like, see, can see what you're doing and be like, you know what? I get it. And I rate it.
Mm-hmm. So. No, it's very true. I think also because we are in Canada, I think a lot of the content that we consume is, you know, partly American, right?
Yeah.
So I find when you do have a Canadian podcast, because for me, most of my listeners are actually in Canada, surprisingly.
Oh, work. Yes, girl.
So I'm like, who are these Canadians that are listening to me? You know, they're kind of all over.
Yeah.
But then you meet like other Americans and people are always, you know, interested in listening to your podcast, what you have to say from this, you know, Canadian type of voice. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. It's funny. It's different, but I like it just because I know there's like a, I guess, a difference of growing up Canadian and growing up American that exists. Whereas like, I feel like, you know, Black Canadians, we still have a weird tie to like former roots. Like, I don't think I've ever met another like Canadian person that was Black who didn't know where their family came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are just like, oh yeah, my grandmother came from this island. They're from St. Vincent. They're from, you know, Barbados, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, Barbados. Like, everybody knows where they came from, you know? Whereas in America, I feel like sometimes there's that bit of detachment where they don't always know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's maybe kind of where that difference is. They're more like ingrained in their American history. Whereas like, I feel like we kind of watch it from the sidelines. Like, oh, this is what happens to y'all? Hmm.
It's true.
Interesting. So
it's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who is the podcast, are there any topic that you try to stay away from? Because you're pretty open. You talk about relationships and like work-life balance. Is there anything that you're like, no, we're not talking about that?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't shy away from stuff because I think it's important to confront certain issues. However, what I won't do is be loud and wrong. If I'm not educated on something, I'm not going to speak on it because it's like, I'm not trying to make an ass out of myself on this internet.
Right.
Not me. So I would rather like revisit it, find out information, or like have a guest, ask the right questions. So like, you know, because like, I don't want to be that weird armchair diagnosing somebody to be like, you're possibly bipolar if you do these three weird traits I found on BuzzFeed. Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But I think sometimes, like, people want you to go on like these controversial topics, you know, to get viral, to get more of an audience. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think that's the right approach.
I mean, I feel like it depends on how you like kind of talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like a couple episodes ago, I was talking about this whole like Try Guy cheating scandal thing or whatever, because like I grew up watching BuzzFeed. I grew up seeing the Try Guys, and like I was slowly, I guess, starting to fall back more into their content. So when all of this kind of popped up, I was like, oh, like, damn. But I guess more of the perspective I took from it was like, what if this happened at your own workplace? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I've had questionable things happen at past workplaces that sound a little similar to this story. So it was fun kind of like speculating on it, giving a personal like take on it. But I think the important thing was, instead of just trying to hop in to just be in the know, it's like, bring something of value to the conversation. But I also love to just let everyone know, I'm just speculating. I don't know nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't hear nothing. But this is what I've grown to know over time. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know, it's helped definitely broaden reach, at least from my end, from my show. And like, I posted a TikTok about it. Why did it go viral? I don't know. It went like really? Mini viral. And I was just like, damn, y'all are still liking this? Like, this was 3 weeks old. But I realized it gave like, you know, a conversation point of people to talk about, people to agree, maybe even disagree. But again, it was just kind of like, it gave people a different, I guess, perspective to think about it rather than just what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. From all the episodes that you've posted, is there any, like, from the highest listening episodes, do you notice a pattern with the topics that people like? Or is it just very,
varied? It's varying. It's okay. Varying. Like, I would say, like, maybe my top three episodes right now was about the housing crisis that we have here in Canada, and specifically in Toronto. There was another episode where I talked with a financial advisor about money and like options for money and like savings and growth and things like that. And I think the next one, I can't remember if it was that recent one with this whole Try Guy stuff, or like, I think another one, I would have to double check. But again, it was like something dating relationship related. So they are all completely varied.
It's interesting what people like to listen to. Because I noticed on my podcast that people like discussions about dating, relationships, which makes sense, and friendships.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? This is interesting.
You know why? Can I tell you a little thing?
Please.
There was a study I heard. This was forever ago, so I don't know if it's been debunked or not. But a lot of people who tend to be happy with their lives will consume other or happy with their relationships will consume content where there's relationship dissatisfaction or relationship drama. So it explained like how back in the day, like, I don't know if any of your aunties, moms, whoever would watch Young and the Restless, but I know mine's did. Yeah. And that explained it why. Because I was like, why are you guys always watching this? And then there was a study that said, well, you know, people are happy, self-satisfied, will sit and enjoy watching like drama and stuff. We don't have soaps nowadays. We have 90 Day Fiancés.
Yes.
We have, you know, Shade Room. We have, you know, all of these other things. So that's what people consume. And I guess, you know, talking about dating and relationships on the pod, especially if there's, you know, drama, spiciness, mm-hmm. people are just like, what'd you say?
Exactly.
So...
So what are some of successes that you've had on your podcast? I know you talked a little bit about, you know, being very popular in the States.
Apparently. The top three countries are wild. Or I think it's maybe top five, because I was like, what? Who's there? Okay. Top three countries for me, at least, is U.S., Canada, and United Kingdom. Half my listeners are in the U.S., more than half.
Okay.
But my top five, after United Kingdom, is Germany and Slovakia. I don't know, but I appreciate it. But I guess those wins were, I guess, for me, was getting like 1,000 streams in my first year with like no heavy like push, broadcasting, promotion, things like that. The next goal, I guess, is to get like the first 100 episodes. We're like in episode 80 something. Mm-hmm. I don't keep that much track of Tale, but I'm hoping to get there. And then I guess the next goal would be like 1,000 organic followers of the show.
Okay.
So those are 2 out of 3 that I haven't hit yet, but the first one was the 1,000 in a year, which was great. And then I guess the other thing that I'm proud of is, I guess, meeting with and being able to interact with more, not just Toronto people, but just guests in general. Mm-hmm. Like our second season, we had a whole bunch of just men on our show because it was me and a friend who started the show together, and we were 2 women. So we're just like, you know what? We need a male perspective. We need, you know, some male 2 cents. So we had a whole bunch of guests that were just men, asking them their perspective, getting their stories, their insight. And then we finished it off with one of our, I guess, newer friends of the show. His name is Donovan, but he goes online as Obamba Rosklot on TikTok and on Instagram. And so, like, he's doing big things now, which is nice. So it's just kind of like, I remember you before you blow up, so don't forget about me. One of those little things. So I guess those were a few great milestones. And then my goals now with the show for season 3 and now season 4 has been to have more conversations with other women, because like I said before, I did a podcast. I started it with my friend who is a woman, but it's like, it's all right having just us two, but now it's nice to have like speaking to other women and having other Black women perspectives, because I think those are very important.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. And you mentioned men, and I'm curious because when I look at the people, like the stats, mm-hmm. I think like maybe 90% of the people who listen to my podcast are women.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like men probably listen more to like things that are geared to them, like sports. Like, I don't think they're probably going to listen to like some conversations. So it's tricky.
Well, I will say like my listenership have slowly shifted to like more women, mm-hmm. which is fine. Like, I don't right. have a problem. But starting off, I had like a very strong male listenership. Mm-hmm. Who was like, you know, very engaged and very involved. And I still like to like keep the conversation open and speak with like men and other male podcasters that I've spoken to and shared platforms with. So hopefully we can kind of bridge that gap. Like right now, when I host the show, I usually have my partner come on and like he's a man. So I usually like to include his perspective because without sounding too biased, I like to think he's personally very emotionally intelligent compared to some other platforms nowadays. So I don't know. I try to keep that mindset open. I try to keep that topic open. But I also want to have a nice, good, healthy balance of speaking with like not just men, but with women and like mm-hmm. a variety of topics mm-hmm. so that nobody necessarily feels kind of like iced out.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I hear you. That's awesome. So what's next for you on your podcast? Do you plan on doing anything bigger, a YouTube, I don't know, a conference, something?
Oh, I wish. A conference would be fun, actually. But right now, we're just slowly adding more of our previous episodes on our YouTube channel, as well as getting more videos up on YouTube, just so that it has an even wider reach, aside from people who may not have Spotify, you know, Apple Play, Google Play, whatever. Hopefully, if I'm manifesting the will, I would like to have some sort of like daytime show. That would be lovely.
Awesome.
But I would love to do like a nice brunch and connect with like other women, especially in the podcasting like network, to kind of like not only just promote ourselves, but like, you know, build that community that we're always kind of looking for, because it's nice to build our own community personally. But when you share, you know, platforms with one another, you're mm-hmm. hoping to, you know, take a piece of that or take a piece of this and just, you know, have that network branch and grow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's so important. Yeah.
Besides, who doesn't love brunch?
Exactly. Well, this was fun. And thank you so much for being here. This was great.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was my pleasure. I could talk to you all day.
I know. Thank you so much. That was such a great conversation I had with Lola. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did.
one thing I took away from this conversation is that quality content is so much more important than social media numbers. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.